Hey guys, I absolutely love that you're checking out and listening to the podcast. And I only have one ask quickly, and that would be if you could please share this podcast with somebody else that you maybe know that is going through the system or struggling to navigate it from the youth soccer perspective. And that would mean the absolute world to me because, as you know, I don't sell anything through the podcast and I don't have any sponsorships. And the more people that I can help, that is my overall objective. So I would absolutely love if you could share this with somebody. Take the 5 seconds to do so by sending it through social media or WhatsApp or whatever way that you like to share content, and I will make sure that I continue to deliver valuable and insightful content for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Class 17 Obsession Beast Parent Education Level 1 course. This one is more like a bonus, just to be completely honest with you. It is class number 17, and it's discussing an overview of laws of the game, which are just the rules and regulations of the sport. Things will change. At the time of recording, these are the rules. I looked them up and did all the specifics. I'm sure they'll change over time. So always use this as reference that you need to constantly update yourself about the rules because they do change year after year. Okay? So the first question I have for you is, as we get into this class, is football a contact sport? Think about that for 5 to 10 seconds. And I'll say it one more time. Is football a contact sport? And yes, the answer is yes. You're allowed to use your body. You're allowed to use your hands. That's all part of the game. And don't think otherwise. The game is contact-based. So like I've heard parents on the sideline scream, you can't use your arms. He's pushing. He's slide tackled. Like, yes, you can do all of those things. It's okay. Now, there is a limit, obviously. And I'm not sitting here telling you that I am the best referee in the world or whatever. No, I'm trying to provide you as much context as possible because I think one of the best things you can do as a parent, especially if your child's going to be playing a sport, go understand the rules because many times that I see parents going to games and they say things that are just like, what are you talking about? And you don't want to be that parent. Educate yourself. Maybe you take the referee class and learn what it is to be a referee. You don't even have to go referee, but take the class to learn the rules, or go get all the laws of the game and read them verbatimly and make sure you understand them at least to much greater effect. Okay, because, you know, I've seen stuff of parents talking and they're like, well, you know, he's trying to injure somebody. And that's why I put this part here because it's unfortunate, but injuries are a part of the business and setbacks. So setbacks or maybe reoccurring injuries, for example. But like, those are things that are gonna happen. Like, nobody wants to get injured. Like, I played for years. I never planned on being injured, but I got injured. Like, there's just nothing you can do about that. It's a part of the business. And like, I need you guys to understand that that will happen. It's unfortunate. It sucks. Nobody wishes that upon somebody, but it does happen. Okay, now let's get into the actual rules part. Let's talk about offside for a second. So this is just an overview. I'm gonna try and quickly explain it as easily as possible. And that way you can at least understand. So offside, how does this typically work? There must be two defenders playing the ball. Or I should say, let me say that again. There must be two defenders behind the ball. So what this means is normally one defender is the goalkeeper. And then the second defender is usually like a center back or something. So there's two players back, right? As long as there are two players back, the player cannot be offside. Now, what happens if the situation is the goalie goes up and then there's only one player back? Well, if the play goes through, player could be called offside because there must be two. Typically, in 90% of cases, the goalkeeper is one of them themselves. So I want to make sure you understand that, okay? Now, is there offside on a goal kick, throw in, or corner kick? And the answer would be no. There is no offside on a goal kick. There's no offside on a throw-in. And there's no offside on at least the first part of the corner kick. So once the ball is played, then there can be offside from those aspects. But from the initial piece, no. Now, back to the thing about two players behind the ball. And in terms of just the offside rule. If the player has any part of the body that they can score a goal with beyond the last defender, they will be offside when the ball is played. And it all depends on when the ball is played. If the ball is released before the player crosses that threshold, they will be onside. If the pass happens after and the player has now already gone offside, it's going to be flagged for offside, or at least should be. Now, sometimes you will have an issue of human error. And
That happens. It's a part of the business. Unfortunately, referees make mistakes. Business, right? Part of the business. Now, next one. Is a player offside when they are behind the ball? So let's assume that there are no more defenders, right? The defenders are out. It's now one attacker and one attacker. They're at goal. They're about to put the ball in the net. If the player decides to pass the ball to the other one, and as long as he's behind the line of the ball, he's good or she's good and the ball can be scored and they will not be offside. However, if the ball is played forward, like let's say the player's here and the ball's in front, he plays it forward, that would be offside. The player must be behind the ball. I hope that makes sense from an offside perspective. If you don't understand fully, rewatch the video to kind of grasp the concept. Okay, let's look at physical contact. I already highlighted it a little bit because this is something I see all the time in youth soccer. And here are a couple of points to think about. Can players use their arms? Is pushing and shoving acceptable? Let's start with that one. Yes, players can use their arms. They can joust for the ball and go. Now, you can't throw an arm. You can't really push. I can extend my arm, but if I'm pushing, that's a foul. Now, I can use my body and make contact. That's not a foul. But I can use my arms to protect, to shield. But the second you start going bigger like this and you're pushing, then you start running into the risk of a foul being called. Okay? And I just kind of highlighted about the second one. What about using the body to protect the ball? A player can use their body to protect the ball. Absolutely. They can use the entire body, including their arm. You can even put your arm out like this, like a stiff arm, and use that to help hold. Now, you can't obstruct somebody from getting to the ball, but you can, if you have possession of the ball, you can use your arm. You can't push, but you can use that as a guide to help keep them away. You can also use the elbow if you need to. But if you start throwing this, that's a foul. And it could be considered violent conduct, which would be a red card. Now, talking about obstruction specifically, this basically means you are stopping somebody from running to get the ball. And you're blocking them. So if you are obstructing somebody, that basically means you are trying to not, you're not making an attempt to play the ball and you're purposely trying to block somebody else. That is an infraction. You cannot do that. So hopefully that makes sense. Can players slide tackle? Yes. Now there are different types of slide tackles. This is where, you know, there's, I don't want to say gray area, but one of the things that you cannot do and will typically lead to a straight red card would be a slide tackle where you have both studs up and you've left the ground. So you don't have a foot on the floor anymore. You have both cleats showing. The studs are showing and you go like this. That is typically a straight red card. You'll see it at the pro level all the time. It happens very quickly. Red card comes out quick. Now, you can also make a slide tackle and win the ball with one leg, no problem. Now, sometimes referees will make a mistake and call a foul with contact, like the player falls over. But typically, and it's all based on perception, what the referee sees, you can slide tackle and win the ball even if you make contact with the player and it won't be a foul because contact is allowed. Just how much of it and how aggressive was it is the determining factor, really. Okay, now next point. Are most fouls in youth soccer card worthy? And I wanted to put this question out here because, you know, I've been coaching a long time. I've even refereed for a while. And a lot of times you'll see referees brandish cards very fast. Usually first foul of the game, yellow card comes out. And I think what happens a lot of times is referees are doing that to try and control the match and say, hey, this behavior is not allowed. And they might also be doing it to protect themselves because parents on the sideline will absolutely lose their mind over a foul because they're going to say, they can't do that. They're going to hurt my son or daughter. Okay, they're not trying to hurt your son or daughter. They're playing a game that requires contact. You're going to have to kind of get over that a little bit. Okay, so point is though, most of the time, fouls in youth soccer are not card worthy from my perspective. That doesn't mean there aren't situations of cards being worthy. And we're going to look at a couple here in a moment. Okay, but before doing that, like I said, youth referees seemingly love to throw out cards around even if it's the first foul. It happens all the time. The number of times I've been at a game as a coach and a referee will throw a yellow card 30 seconds into the game for the first foul. And I'm like, ref, it's the first foul. And a lot of times they'll give you like, or they'll give me a comment and say, I need to control the game, coach. Thank you. Well, you don't have to give a card to control the game. You can go have a conversation and be like, hey, don't do that again or I'm going to give you the card. And then you put the warning on the player. Just one idea. Okay, anyways, when is the ball out of bounds or a goal? This one seems to confuse a lot of people. And I'm going to try and make it as easy as possible. It's pretty simple. It is out of bounds or a goal when the entire ball is over the line. So not like if we had an imaginary line, like this is our line, this single finger example, right? If the ball is even just remotely touching the line, just a small piece, the ball is still in play and or it is not a goal. The whole ball has to cross the line, and when that happens, a goal can be awarded. Otherwise, it's still in play or it is not a goal. Now, when I talked about a yellow cards a second ago, let's look at some of these. So there's two of them that typically come up, and there's more, but I'm not trying to highlight all of them. I'm just trying to give you two because this is stuff that sometimes confuses parents. So the first one is called stopping a promising attack. This is also known as a tactical foul. So a tactical foul happens when a player, let's say an attacking team has the ball, they now lose it, it's now a transition to defense, and you go and grab the shirt to stop the opponent. That is stopping a promising attack, which is like a counterattack situation. And a team would do this because they don't want to concede a goal on a counterattack. So they go and take the foul. You know, they grab the shirt and they hold it. That is a yellow card immediately because that is stopping a promising attack. Now we have a different situation of what we call denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity, which is called dog soap. Now, normally, there are other situations which I'll highlight shortly. But normally, a dog show happens outside the box. So outside of the penalty area, that's a dog show. And the other situation could be like a handball on the line. So like the ball is going in and a player uses their arm to make themselves bigger to block the ball and it hits the hand and it saves the goal. That's a dog show. That's a red card as well. Now, this usually is a clear opportunity of a goal or at least a goal scoring opportunity. This usually means the attacker is through on goal, like a one-on-one against the keeper. So the final defenders are beat. There is no recovering defender. And bam, foul happens. That is when you're going to see a dog show red card. And that obviously has consequence. The team now has to play a man down. So there's the two of stopping a promising attack and a dog show. Now, let's look at starting a match. Sometimes there's confusion. I'm only specifically working at 11v11. But you need a minimum of 7 players to start an 11v11 match. If the referee, or I should say, if the other team does not have 7 players, the game will no longer happen. And typically, in 99.9% of cases, a forfeit will conspire with that. So a forfeit will happen, or transpire, not conspire, but a forfeit will happen after or with less than 7 players. You need to have 7 to start the match. And the referee might give a grace period of a couple of minutes, you know, 5 to 10 for the team to get enough players. But that's up to the discretion of the referee. That's their choice if they want to or not. Because the match starts at, say, 11 o'clock. If the referee cannot get the game started at 11, he is within his right to call the game at that point. Now, let's look at who are the referees, because this sometimes causes confusion, and I've heard different names. So an example is, I've heard parents say, the line ref, the side judge. Well, that's not the correct terminology. The actual terminology is the referee. You could also, you'll sometimes hear people say the center referee, but the referee is the referee. That is the ref. That's the guy controlling the match. And then you have assistant referees. These are your ARs. Those are the guys that are with the flags running up and down the line. Those are called assistant referees or AR. So they're called AR1, AR2. And then you can have a fourth officials, but those are assistants as well. Anyways, point is the referee is the guy in the middle controlling the match. The assistant referees are the guys running the flags and are on the side of the field. So please make sure you understand that, because a lot of times parents don't understand and they call them something else like the sideline ref, the side judge. Nope, the correct terminology is AR or the referee. Now, when does a referee have to stop the match? Typically, this is only with a serious injury like a head injury. So if there is a head injury on the field, the referee needs to stop the match immediately. Or another serious injury. It could be, you know, God forbid anything else happens, but things do happen, unfortunately, and serious injuries do happen, and the referee has to stop the match with stuff like that, especially from a head injury, because concussions are on the rise, and you want to try and make sure players are safe and at least can get proper care. And who has the final call on all calls, or final say on all calls? And that would be the center referee. So you might have seen this happen where the AR, for example, flags for an offside or a foul or something, and the center referee or the referee, you know, waves them down and lets the play happen. The final call goes with the referee, not with the AR. The AR can obviously give it opinion and it's advice, but the referee has the final call on all things that happen in the match. So just make sure that's clear. Now, my recommendations for Class 17 are the following. And before you start commenting on any rules, please make sure you know them first. So like, for example, the offside rule. If you don't know anything about offside, don't be on the sideline screaming, "He's offside, ref!" You don't actually know the rule. So at least make sure you do before you comment on it. That's very important. Like I said, I recommend if you can take the U.S. Soccer referee course to at least learn the rules and consider being a referee. Because obviously it's very easy being the guy on the sideline complaining. I have been a ref. And it does change your perspective because you see the game differently. You're now the guy in control of the game. You also need to understand that referees are human too and they're going to make mistakes. It sucks, literally. But even at the pro level with VAR, they're making hundreds of mistakes every single day. Happens all the time. Okay? And then obviously remember the final piece, just like I mentioned before with your player, you have a different viewpoint than the referee because you have the entire sideline. You can see basically everything. The referee has a certain viewpoint and you have a certain viewpoint. So you may see things completely different. Like I've had that happen before where I'll ask a referee like, "Hey, I saw this. Tell me what you saw because I don't quite understand." And they're going to say, "Well, this is what I saw." Well, I can't really argue because they have a different viewpoint than me. So just know that because you might have saw one thing, but because of their position and how they're standing, they saw something that's completely different than what you saw. Unfortunately, it's part of the game, and that's part of the perception piece that happens with the game. And those are the main rules and laws that I wanted to talk about. Again, things are going to change. They happen all the time. Every single year, the IFAB puts out the new list of rules, and things change all the time. Handball, offside, not so much offside, but especially handball rules, those things change all the time. So you will see laws that might have changed from this previously that are in this class that have changed moving into the next, you know, 2024, 2025 season or beyond. So just be aware and make sure you educate yourself on all the rules because I think that's so important for parents. When your kid is playing, know the rules before you commentate or like add commentary. If you don't know the rules, then just be a nice parent on the sideline. Clap, smile, wave, that's it, and enjoy the game. That's why your kid's playing, right? For you to enjoy and them to have fun. Anyways, that's it for Class 17. See you guys in future classes. Keep working. See you there.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the podcast and finding valuable information from it. Now, I do have a quick ask of you, and that would be to make sure to follow me on all social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, which is at Kyle C. Wilson Official, and on Twitter, which is The Kyle C. Wilson. And if you could help me do that, that would continue to help reinforce the ideas that I want to continue producing content specifically made for you guys to help educate you. And as always, you know I'm there to help, as I have $23,195 worth of content available for free through my YouTube channel that will answer and help a lot of the problems that you're going through, or at least your child's going through. So if you haven't found that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode.